We've established an audio medium where people are scared to talk.
Let's all give Nick Saban three fingers.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too.
Sergey Bobanka.
Ground beef.
Mark Hockman.
That's my top category on new porn. McRib dunking.
So was Argentina close to Germany?
Meow.
Channing Crowder.
I set my house on fire at 8 years old. That's why I got the butt foot.
I know how to barbecue. I like my coals hot.
You set yourself up as an idiot, you can be an idiot.
Alejandro Solana.
Hawk, when you mispronounce something, that is better than sex for me.
Sports.
If I say a duck can pull a truck, hug him up.
To what?
To the truck.
Shout out to Springsteen.
I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands up in the air. If you're a true player.
More sports.
Man, you 40 years old, Jimmy. Put your meat on the table.
Let them know
where mama at.
Boston, we're coming for that ass.
The most sports.
Who's bigger, Taylor Swift or Pusha T?
The Hawkman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
Glad you chose Rocky Like a Hurricane to start the show, Jimmy, because, and here's the thing, we're going to talk some Dolphins, but we are definitely talking Hurricanes. It's Canes FSU week, so I don't, you know, I'm certain many Dolphins fans are not super excited to relive what we sat through yesterday. I have a lot of thoughts about it. I'm imagining you do as well, Crowder, because that was not fun.
No, I'm getting upset now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try to keep my calm, but it's upset. The worst offense in the NFL.
It's brutal. I mean, it's brutal.
It's ugly, but it's literally they can't score any points. So how do you?
But the weird thing is, you know, if you bring in a defensive-minded head coach and they have a bad offense, you kind of go, okay, well, it makes sense, and now they'll need, you know. But this guy's an offensive guru. Here's the thing. Here's I don't want to get too far into the weeds, but this is a big week because it is Canes FSU. Tua should be coming back this week for the Dolphins. Mike McDaniel just had his Monday press conference. He said the plan is for Tua to practice on Wednesday, and if all goes well, he'll be available Sunday. And the line already reflects that, by the way. Dolphins are 3.5-point favorites over Arizona, which, you know, you'd watch the last couple of games and you'd go, doesn't make any sense. But that's the Tua difference right there. He's probably worth 6 points.
Yes.
To the Dolphins line at this point, which is crazy.
He's got to be worth something when they're scoring 10 points. It's just embarrassing. Tyreek and Watt, you have $58 million worth of wide receiver, and they get the ball twice, and Tyreek doesn't touch the football until the fourth quarter? Doesn't put a feet. It was sad. It was sad. I was at Publix this morning arguing with the produce man. They'll figure it out.
No, he's had chances to figure it out. Here's what really bothers me. They, once again, gave you an example of how little they care about the backup quarterback position, even though that position is what's bit them in the ass all season long.
Yep.
So they chose Skylar Thompson over Mike White, and it was probably a financial decision. And Skylar stunk. And then they had Tim Boyle, and he stunk. And then they went and got Tyler Huntley. Hasn't exactly set the world on fire.
A match. If he's trying to set the world on fire, get a match.
And then he goes down. Now you're back to Tim Boyle, who has established over years that he stinks. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw the stats that were going around yesterday. Joe Shad in the Palm Beach Post, he tweeted out, Tim Boyle in the NFL is 0-5. He's thrown for 4 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, and he has a career 56 passer rating. In college, at UConn, Tim Boyle ended his career at UConn with 1 touchdown pass and 13 interceptions. Okay, now he did better at Eastern Kentucky, 11 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. My point is, they've shown you time and again they don't care about the backup quarterback position. if they had a modicum of decent play at the backup position yesterday, they'd have won that game. Yes. That's how bad Indy was doing. If he could have come in, because I don't know if you watch what happened with Washington, Marcus Mariota steps in for Jaden Daniels, throws for two touchdowns, 205 yards, 78% completion percentage. They have, to steal a tweeter's tweet, they have botched the backup quarterback position so badly that it's infuriating to me. Because if you remember, Tim Boyle was on the practice squad again all week. They activated him, I think, on Saturday to the actual roster, which shows you again, well, we've got Tyler Huntley. We don't care about the backup position, even though we have a history of the quarterbacks going down. And then all of a sudden, Huntley goes down. Boyle is incapable of doing anything offensively. Period. End of story. I'm not a football expert, but I think based on Joe Shad's tweet and what I see with my own eyes, Tim Boyle is not capable of coming in. So again, they threw away a winnable game because they weren't prepared for an eventuality that has happened over and over and over again all season long for them.
And the preparation of that. Hey, it's a chance. Tua goes down. We talked about it. He went down. He has concussion problems. Don't plan for that. There's a chance that Tyler Huntley gets hurt, and you have to have somebody prepared to play the rest of that game individually. Tim, get on in there. Go get him, big man. Man, throw 25 interceptions in his 8 years. Like, he's not going to get him. He doesn't even average a touchdown per year in his career. He's not going to go get him. It's just it's frustrating, and I kept saying – I went back, Hawk. Remember last week I went back and I said, you know what? Mike McDaniel now, he knows what he has. And he has 2 weeks. They had a bye week. He has 2 weeks to prepare this offense with Tyler Huntley on board. I tell you another secret. Before he was hurt, that offense was doing nothing. It was embarrassing. Hey, let's make Jonnu Smith the king of the world. Okay, what you going to get out of him? One touchdown? We got seven now. We have 7 points. Now, it wasn't good from the beginning. And to your point, I'm thinking when even the Teddy Bridgewaters. And it's crazy because Teddy got hurt his first 3 plays in the game. The Jacoby Brissetts, even those guys, okay. But I go back to them, Earl Morrill, when we had a legit backup quarterback to come in and win some games behind Bob Greasy. It was sad to watch the statistical worst offense, I would say probably in football. I would take some college teams. The Canes probably could put up more points in the NFL than the Dolphins put up.
They have 70 points total this season, I believe. 70 points total. They put up 70 in a game last year. They have 70 points total this season. And to your point, it is inexcusable to have 4 targets towards Tyreek and Jaylen Waddle. It is inexcusable for Tyreek Hill to end with single-digit receiving yards. Mm-hmm. Like, it's inexcusable what went on yesterday. And like you said, if they decided they were running the offense through Jonnu Smith, then what is – and we like Jonnu Smith.
Yes.
If he decided he was running the offense through Jonnu Smith, what the hell is going on?
It's ridiculous. I like Randy McMichael and me are real good friends. If I ever looked at the game plan and said, hey, Randy's the main target. Yeah, coach, why would you do that? Why would you make the tight end the main target? He's not Kittle. He's not Travis Kelce. It's ridiculous. And then I watched, and I thought, now I was just mad after the Dolphin game. So I'm watching the Jets game. Devontae Adams walks in there on Wednesday. He gets 6 targets. He's been there for 48 hours. He gets 6 targets. You've had these guys for years and can't scheme up a way to get them more than 4 targets. Tyreek Hill's 1 for 8. Like, come on, man. It's like he's going to upset. I don't know what he's going to say in this press conference that we're going to listen to. He's going to upset me with any answer he has. Unless he already did
his press conference. Like,
it's my fault. I wasted 14 days.
Starts with me. I have to be better. But I mean that's comical at this point. Like, you have Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle out there. It is comical to me that you're not just trying to throw a couple deep passes and see if something sticks. It is comical to me that you made the Indianapolis Colts defense, because if the answer is, well, they shut down Tyreek Hill, I don't buy it. Sorry. You can have the greatest NFL defense out there. The great receivers find ways to get open, or the quarterback finds a way to throw a 50-50 ball at least that a great receiver can go up and have a good chance of going to get. Like, it's just, it's maddening. And they're goofing about it after the first half. They're laughing. Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, you know, holding up one finger like, hey, we only got one target. And Mike McDaniel's telling them, oh, we're going to fix it. We're going to fix it. And they didn't fix it. It is really, it's maddening. This game was a game that they gave away. For me, my opinion, this game was given away because they didn't have a backup quarterback situation that was even adequate. And listen, again, I'm not telling you Tyler Huntley was setting the game on fire. He was doing enough to win. They were going to win that game. I really believe that. They were going to win that game. Jason Sanders needs to make that field goal. You're in a dome. There's no wind in a dome. There's no elements that you have to deal with in a dome. Jason Sanders, because I didn't think it was the worst call in the world for McDaniel not to go for it on fourth and short and kick the field goal, because they were having a tough time, obviously, moving the ball, getting points. That has to be a gimme in today's day and age when it comes to the NFL. And it doinked. And it was just like everything that could have gone right didn't. But at the end, to me, if you have even an adequate backup quarterback, you will come out of there with a victory. But because, once again, they went into another week with a disaster at backup quarterback, they were unable to get a winnable game into the W column. And it makes me apoplectic.
Malik Willis won games with the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Because like you're saying, he's adequate. That's what made me made me think of it. They ran the ball 35 times. He completed 3 of 13 third downs, and they end up winning the game. Ugly. Winning the ugly game. That last play, what part of Tim Boyle's game did Mike McDaniel say, hey, fourth down, we got to get a first down to keep this game alive. I'm going to have him throw a pinpoint back shoulder fade to a guy playing tight man-to-man. Tim Boyle has never completed that throw in his life. He threw it out of bounds.
That was crazy as well. That goes to my point of not having an adequate backup quarterback. Like, Tim Boyle, if you can't at least keep a fourth and short in bounds and catchable, you have no business being in the league. Period, end of story. But he's shown you statistically over 5 seasons or however long, he doesn't belong in the league. Mm-hmm. And this is who they have as the backup quarterback. That was unconscionable to me. Like, first of all, they didn't even need that many yards. Just get the first down. Just get the first down and then figure out what the hell you're going to do. But get the first down. He threw the ball away, in my opinion. I don't think he knew what the game situation was.
And I said it when they're sitting there. I'm like, okay, they're going to run some little rub route, some little pick routes, a bunch of crossers, and have guys sit down on the sticks. That's what football coaches do. Hey, we need 4 yards. You run 5. You run 4.5. You run 3. Y'all cross each other and sit down. Just find the guy that has a little space. Throw it to him. Fall forward for a couple yards. We have a first down. Now we're rolling. No, a back shoulder fade. That's one of the hardest balls to throw in football. And that's, you're going to have the backup guy throw it? Tim Boyle has never completed that pass in his life. I don't know what high school he played at, but I'm sure he had more interceptions than touchdowns, because that's what he does in his career.
That was infuriating.
Well, and to your point, the defense is not playing great, but they were wearing Indy out.
Yeah, they're fine. I mean, they played well enough to win that game.
Yes, they're wearing Indy out. Just get some points on the board. Two good drives. Put together two good drives, you win that game. You have 12, 13 chances. Give me 2.
And I think you were right. I think if Joe Flacco was in that game, Joe Flacco was better than all 3 quarterbacks who we saw out there. We saw Anthony Richardson, Tyler Huntley, and Tim Boyle. Joe Flacco, the only one who didn't play, was better than all three of those probably combined at this point. So you were right in saying that Anthony Richardson gives the Dolphins a better chance to win because they were only in that game. And again, he does unbelievable things. Jalen Ramsey had him dead to rights for a sack. And I don't know how Anthony Richardson didn't crumble. You know what I mean? Like, nine out of 10 quarterbacks crumble in that situation. Jalen Ramsey had him, and Anthony Richardson dusted him off like a little piece of a mosquito had flown on him. It was crazy to me. So he gives you some crazy opportunities to extend plays and get open, but Joe Flacco would have picked them apart.
I think Joe Flacco's oldest son's about 14, 15. Let's try him out. We gave Skylar Thompson 3 years to sit around. Let's see what Lil Flacco got.
I mean, can you imagine, like, they again, with the backup, when I watch, and again, you know, Washington is much better than Carolina, so I'm not telling you that Marcus Mariota came in for Jaden Daniels and won a game for him as a backup. They were going to win that game. But Marcus Mariota is one of those guys who's available. There's a lot of guys like Marcus Mariota who are available. And for whatever reason, the Dolphins have shunned all those guys. And when our backup comes in, it's an unmitigated disaster. Mm-hmm. And so even to get Tyler Huntley up to speed, it took 2 weeks and then a bye week. And then it was like, okay, now he's got it. But they had wasted all that time. Maybe he could have gotten up to speed had you signed him during the offseason and he would have been ready to go. And when they had to go to Tim Boyle again, it just infuriated me because, again, it's the same problem that has cost them this season. Inadequate backup play. Not just inadequate. Horrific backup play has cost them all season, and it did it to them again yesterday. And they've seen for five games, we're not really good at backup. Activate Tim Boyle off the practice squad. We'll be fine. Nothing will happen to Huntley. I mean, it's illogical.
And after the Steelers go and sign Russell Wilson and trade for Justin Fields, you're watching what he's doing. Drake May is better than any backup we have. All these rookies, Jaden Daniels, hell, he was an MVP talk, so I hope he's not that bad hurt. All this Caleb Williams. I can go through guys that have been in the league for 2 months that are 10 times better than anybody right now active for the Dolphins at quarterback. Anybody. We're the worst quarterback in the league. The worst offense with the worst quarterback in the league.
Good news is we've got Canes FSU, and the Canes are undefeated, and they're top five, and they're 21-point favorites. That's what I saw yesterday. I don't know if the line will change or not. Really excited for Saturday night. The Heat opened their season Wednesday. By the way, listen to 560 WQAM tomorrow. We're giving away a pair of tickets for opening night every other hour. So make sure you're listening because they open on Wednesday. We're giving away a pair of tickets every other hour tomorrow. Make sure you are listening to us tomorrow if you want to win Heat tickets. You got Yankees Dodgers World Series starting Friday, which is something that you and I both wanted. You've been riding the Dodgers. I'm wearing a Dodgers shirt right now. I'm ready to go. I'm rooting for the Dodgers. And this Friday also happens to be National Greasy Foods Day. And that's a big day in my household. So there's just a lot going on this week. It's a fun week. And I'm just so bummed that, you know, we grinded it out against New England. I say we, the Dolphins, grinded it out against New England. Wasn't pretty, but, you know, it was like, hey, while Tua's gone, just stack up a couple dubs. And yesterday was a winnable game. It really was. You were not facing a good team. It was a winnable game. And Mike McDaniel mangled it. And the personnel, quarterback-wise, mangled it. Jason Sanders mangled it. There were just myriad situations that really frustrated me as a Dolphins fan. But I'm excited to get Tua back, but I'm like, the excitement level has waned a little bit because yesterday was they should have had another one in the W column, and they don't.
Well, we always have the Cam Ward show.
Man, you ain't lying.
I think I'm going there now, man.
You ain't lying.
It's gracious, that man's good at football.
In fact, John Michaels is going to join us in the next segment. I want to get, let's do a quick look at headlines. Dan Day is subbing in for Solana for about an hour today. Let's get a real quick look at the headlines with Dan Day, brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen.
Yeah, Hawk, you touched on most of it. Just a couple quick notes. You get a doubleheader Monday Night Football tonight. 2-4-2 teams at 8:15 in the Buccaneers and the Ravens. And at 9, it's the Dolphins' next opponent, the Cardinals, taking on the Chargers.
Yeah, we shall see what the Cardinals bring tonight. And then you got to imagine you'll see Tua at quarterback for the Dolphins next Sunday.
I'm torn on this Bucs-Ravens.
I like Tampa in this game.
I do too.
Is it four?
I had some winners over the weekend. I had some losers too, but I kind of like Tampa.
But when Lamar Jackson runs for 100 and throws for 3 and Derrick Henry has 180, we're going to feel so silly.
But give me Baker Mayfield with the season that he's having at home, yeah. Plus 3.5 points in prime time.
Yes.
Man.
It's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
Panthers have also started talks of extending Sam Bennett. They host the Minnesota Wild tomorrow at 6:30.
Oh, I saw Sam Reinhart was named one of the NHL 3 stars of the week.
Mm-hmm. On to weather from the New Mesman and Dover Law Firm, your accidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. It's around 80 degrees throughout most of South Florida. Partly cloudy, a little bit of breeze, and a slight chance of rain throughout the rest of the day.
John Michaels is going to talk some Canes with us in the next segment. I imagine he doesn't want to talk NFL either because his Atlanta Falcons had a rough one yesterday as well. So we'll probably stick to Canes. John Michaels in a moment.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I died on Saturday night one time, played Sunday.
Hawk and Crowder.
John Michaels from 680 The Fan in Atlanta is going to join us. Before we bring him on, I want to remind everybody, we have our Dave & Buster's gift card giveaway. It's a $250 gift card. You can use it, watch a little football, basketball, hockey, soccer playoffs. Watch it at Dave & Buster's in Hollywood. If you want to win, go to WQAM.com, click on contests, and you could win the Dave & Buster's gift card right there. John Michaels is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, and I always remind you, if you're looking for some Canes gear, and I don't know why you wouldn't be in FSU week, you head over to Caneswear in Davie or check them out online at caneswear.com. John Michaels can be heard on 680 The Fan in Atlanta. You know, listening to this show, he's a huge Hurricanes fan. I said to Crowder, he's probably as annoyed with his Falcons as we are with our Dolphins. So let's talk Canes FSU week and get it underway with John Michaels. Hello, John.
Well, the first stop when we land is from Fort Lauderdale Airport. We're literally driving directly to Caneswear. I understand it's an orange out. I can't go to the game with old gear, so I'll be getting some new gear from Brett and the crew over there. That's my first stop. Second stop will probably be Twin Peaks right down the street, and then God only knows where the day is going to take us from Friday evening into Sunday. I just know a seminal ass whooping is in between there somewhere because Miami about to beat them like it's the 1980s again.
Yes, I'm feeling that. Here's the thing. Now, tell me if you felt the same way. I was nervous going into Saturday's game against Louisville. And the Canes looked so good. But that was the game that I thought might be the stumble on the schedule.
To Louisville plays really good offense. Jeff Brohm really ate Lance Guidry's lunch last year in a 38-31 loss. And I thought they had weapons and enough South Florida kids, Don Chaney, Ja'Cory Brooks, kids that had transferred up there that were really going to take that game personally. But my goodness, Miami's offense is so good. Even with a mediocre defense right now, I never feel that we're going to be out of it. I always feel like, hey, get a stop or two, and Cam Ward and this amazing group on the offensive side of the ball is going to score enough. Truthfully, if you go back and look at that Louisville game, while the final score looks like, okay, it was really close, we give up a kick return and a fumble in a matter of like 2 plays. They score a late touchdown when the game is out of reach. And outside of that, we never really were threatened to lose the football game. But I agree with you. going into that one, it was a little nerve-wracking. I was just ready for this week because I sat there through 45-3 2 years ago in Hard Rock Stadium. I drove a round trip last year. I left my house at 7 a.m. and got home at 2 a.m. to watch us lose on a Tyler Van Dyke interception. And on my birthday 3 years ago was that stupid 4th-and-14 when I say payback is going to be sweet. It's going to be sweet to watch those Seminole dorks walk their sorry asses out of Hard Rock Stadium with their 7th loss in 8 games. How great does that sound?
Yeah.
And yes, the offense is very explosive. Cam Ward is amazing. You know, I'm an honorary Cane this year because my Gators aren't that good. No, John, no concern. I'm not going to be the negative guy. No concern for a defense that gave up 1,000 yards plus in 3 games. I think it's 400, 450, 370 to VTech, Cal, and Louisville. Or it's just a shootout. We know we're going to have a shootout. Let's have a shootout.
No, it's a lot of concern because the goal is to win a national championship. I mean, what's going on right now is sweet. You're 7-0. You're ranked 6th in the AP poll. You're feeling great. But if you're there and you're going to be a playoff team, why not dare to dream bigger to win a national title? I don't think you're good enough. You're not even close to good enough right now defensively to win a national championship. There's been so many blown assignments, so many missed tackles, so many opportunities to get off the field. I think they had 2 pass interference penalties on 4th down on Saturday against Louisville. Yeah, it's a huge concern. I've watched the secondary regress from week 1 to where they are now, to where I'm questioning everybody that's on the field, including Daryl Porter, who I thought was going to be a lockdown corner this year. Something's got to give, and I don't know what it is. You know, I've thought about, do you start playing younger kids? Does Zaquan Patterson need to be a starter? Probably. Do you need to change up and put Daryl Porter back outside at corner where he was and live with somebody else in the slot? Probably. Do you maybe need to play some more zone in behind what's a really good 4-man defensive pressure? Yeah, I think you need to do some of that. Everything's on the table. The good thing is you play 2 mediocre offenses the next 2 weeks in Florida State and Duke. Try to get it right somehow. Figure out what you can do, because the goal is not only to be 12-0 during the regular season, it's to win 4 more games and win a national title before this is all over with.
You know, I'm with you, obviously. I went to UM in the late 80s. This feels like, and to Crowder's point of, you know, the defense giving up a lot of points, this feels like those teams where it didn't matter how many points you were down or gave up, you were going to be able to outscore them at the end. But FSU is terrible. There's no question about it. Canes are a 3-touchdown favorite for a reason. Cam Ward, odds-on Heisman Trophy winner, on Vegas odds. I mean, everything is in line, as you said at the beginning of the segment, for a Canes ass-kicking Saturday night at Hard Rock Stadium. Should we proceed with some caution, though, because weird things happen in rivalry games?
No. If this game,
I just wanted to, I wanted to double check because I agree with you.
Something is really, really wrong if this game is close. Florida State's on quarterback 3, 4, 6. I don't know. They brought the Luke Cromanhawk kid in. I had heard Brock Glenn was the savior. Then he went out and threw a couple of yanks. They only scored against Duke on a kick return. If this game is close, we have problems. They scored 20 points once in a game, and that was in Ireland, 7 continents away, all the way back in August when the season they thought they were going to be pretty good. You know, you look at this, offensively, they're terrible. Defensively, I still have to laugh that ESPN the first week of the season said they have the best defensive line in college football. I've watched them get pushed around more than a kid about to get in a fight in a second grade lunch. I mean, they are getting shoved all over the field. We got big, nasty, mean defensive linemen who are going to make life miserable for the quarterback. We have a great offensive line who lets Cam Ward sit back there and have a sandwich anytime he wants to get back and throw the football. Now all of a sudden, Damian Martinez is running like a bowling ball, just knocking folks over left and right. It bet not be close. All I know is in the 4th quarter, I want Mario and Michael Irvin making all these crazy faces on the sideline, Lamar Thomas threatening people and doing whatever. I want a 40-point win. I'm not going to lie. I want to beat them by 40 or more like we did in the COVID year when we had their guys pulling their jerseys over their face because they were so embarrassed about how damn bad they are.
And, John, these two teams went separate ways because last year Florida State was arguing, you know, they should have been in the college football playoffs, and the Canes were mediocre. Now the Canes are number six in the nation, and Florida State is a high school team. Is it the kids? Because the addition of Cam Ward is the easy out. Florida State would be that they lost their quarterback. Now they can't play. But to your point, it's one guy. Either way, if you want to say that. Or is it really just I'm not going deep enough to look into the Jimmys and Joes, and I'm giving the coaches too much credit?
No, I think it's a mix of all of it. The quarterback is huge. I mean, the confidence that Miami has now with somebody as cool, calm, and collective as Cam Ward back there, as opposed to Tyler Van Dyke. And I don't want to crap on him, but my goodness, how many times did he throw an interception in really bad situations where the game was on the line and he threw it to the wrong color jersey? Cam, I have full confidence when he has the ball that he's going to get it done. Jordan Travis, while he started as a terrible quarterback, his maturation at Florida State and growth was something that was unbelievable to watch. I mean, the kid went from a guy that couldn't complete a forward pass to one of the best quarterbacks in college football. And what he did last year was nothing short of amazing. But I think there's a chemistry issue going on up there. You bring in so many portal kids, and kids are getting these million-dollar NIL deals. Eventually, the give-a-damn factor goes away. And once they lost a couple of games early, close to Georgia Tech, close to Boston College, I got $1 million in my bank account. I'm going to go to the NFL eventually. How much do I care what Mike Norvell really has to say? And that's the real delicate balance, I think, that's gone wrong for Florida State this year. They remind me of Michigan State about 3 years back under Mel Tucker. Mel Tucker went 10-2. They came into Hard Rock Stadium and beat the ever-loving hell out of Miami with Kenneth Walker and Peyton Thorne and a couple other guys that went to the NFL. And then the next year he tried to replicate that, and they lost, and then he got in his own trouble and got fired. Mike Norvell tried to replicate it. He brought in the wrong quarterback. You have a bunch of me guys up there, and they brought in a bunch of kids who were, I don't want to say failures, who weren't living up to the hype at other schools. And now all of a sudden they get to Florida State and you realize maybe these kids can't play. Miami's done it the right way. It's high school recruiting and then a mix of portal kids in there to augment some of the places you need to have done.
UMFSU week, there's no better way to kick it off than with John Michaels, the most passionate UM guy. UM, 5 in the nation, undefeated, 3 touchdown favorites over FSU Saturday night. Cam Ward, like I said, Heisman Trophy candidate. Has the season exceeded your expectations?
No, because I thought we'd be undefeated right now. I truly did. I thought you might lose a game somewhere. So I guess in that point, yeah, it has a little bit. The excitement level on Saturdays has. I mean, my heart rate doesn't come down until Monday after some of the games we played over the last 3 weeks. But the expectation for me was always to be in Charlotte. It was always to be in the playoffs. And I said at the beginning of the year, the absolute floor for this team was 2 losses. So I think it's right in line with what I thought it was going to be. Now let's finish the drill. You should be favored by a lot in the last five games. And let's get to Charlotte against Clemson. I might need y'all's QAM hookup at that point because my wife's about to kill me with the amount of money that we're spending on tickets to go to football games. Let's finish the drill with Clemson and let's get to a college football playoff where Miami's name is back amongst all the SEC shining lights. And it just feels great to be there again.
And I don't want to jinx us. Because I'm an us guy now, John. I'm an us guy now.
When did that start to happen? Game one? Did that start to happen game one about the second half?
Yeah, once they started Graham Mertz, I said, yeah, I got to find somebody else with a quarterback to cheer for. Is it Clemson? Because they're not shabby. Well, I think they're top 10 right now as well. Did Clemson get back right? Because I know they were, they lost one early, but they can still play.
Yeah, they look good. The growth for Cade Klubnik has been really good. I still want to see them play against somebody. I know people are going to say Miami's had no strength of schedule. Clemson's schedule outside of Georgia is significantly worse than Miami's. They've got, I think they have Virginia Tech coming up next week, which will be a good barometer for where they are. I know they still have Louisville somewhere down the road, if I'm not mistaken, but I still think it's a collision course with Miami and Clemson. And then you beat them, you're really starting to gain respect. I think the one thing for the Canes, Crowder, to go back, you can't slip up. The polls are telling us right now that if Miami loses a game before the regular season comes to an end, they're going to have to win the ACC championship game to get in because for whatever reason, losses in the SEC don't count. Missouri can lose by 60 and they fall 5 spots. I promise Miami loses a game, they're going to tumble about 15 spots on out of there. So we need to take care of business, get some get back against Clemson. Even though we beat them last year, I was at that ACC championship game that ended 38-3, and it was not pretty. It was a long drive home from Charlotte to work a Falcons game that next morning.
I mean, look at us. We made it an entire segment without mentioning the Dolphins or the Falcons. We feel good about that?
We feel great. Yesterday absolutely sucked. The Dolphins, Chris Greer, what you did at quarterback this year should get you arrested. You had no plan. Tim Boyle is in the game with a game on the line and then chucks the ball out of bounds. And the Falcons, that was a total team loss. Everything stunk yesterday. From Younghoe Koo to Kirk Cousins to a defensive line that has seven more sacks than the three of us this year, it was bad. The NFL, I could care less. As long as the Canes are winning, Sundays don't matter to me at all.
Kurt ain't see that big old boy about to knock the hell out of him. He just jumped into his chest and fell on his face. That was ridiculous.
He busts his nose wide. How you beat yourself up in a fight?
Was 2 feet away from him. He cocks back to throw the ball. What up, man? Come on now. Yeah, it looked bad. I think the Falcons still a good team, though.
Not fun. You're so right on Tim Boyle, though. We're out of time, but you're so right to be. I was telling Crowder at the beginning of the show to get bitten in the ass by the backup quarterback position consistently all season long. And still right. Not address it by just bringing up Tim Boyle off the practice squad the day before the game is unconscionable. It is such mismanagement.
It's so terrible. I watched Marcus Mariota, who's not a great QB, fill in yesterday for Jaden Daniels, and he looked like a Heisman Trophy winner. Oh, wait, yep. He was. Yet the Dolphins are trotting out a guy that played at Eastern Kentucky, Western Illinois, Southern University. Who knows? He's terrible, and that's why you lose another winnable game on a Sunday afternoon.
Totally agree. John Michaels, 680 The Fan in Atlanta. He will be in town this weekend, root on his Canes, and hopefully we celebrate a 7-0 start to the season next week with you on the air. Thanks, John.
Anytime, guys.
There you go. John Michaels from 680 The Fan in Atlanta. Canes FSU week. Celebrate it all week long.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Jimmy, you think we should play Noche de Sixto today?
Absolutely.
Hawk and Crowder.